I'd like to comment on the notion of the global space tax that was discussed by two of the speakers. It seems to me that the investment dollars are already fairly scarce for a lot of the projects that are out there in the commercial market, and that a new tax would only make it more difficult to attract investment, and that some of the nascent programs that are out there may not be successful if that were to be implemented. I'd just like to get comments from the other panelists on some of the thoughts on that.
Well, I was going to take up this question perhaps in a different way. The 80s did show us the economic value of the spectrum, and I think it got a tremendous boost with the introduction of the beginning of second cellular wireless systems or radio systems, and the broadcasting and television industry, where the public interest factor of broadcasting took another dive, and you saw the small pockets of people are making tremendous value out of what was a public resource, and tremendous profit and turnovers. And that led a government, and in the Australian government is no exception, indeed, to reform the issue. And we do in fact have a spectrum tax, which is a part payment associated with your licence, and it varies in accordance with considered values of different parts of that spectrum. And even our government services are now obliged to provide within their budget. Now, the question when it comes to space, I wonder, and I don't know whether there are any space lawyers here, but I myself have raised it at the Telecom Forum in Geneva. If we look at the Outer Space Treaty, the Outer Space Treaty provided a tremendous umbrella for the major powers to get on and do in space what they wanted to do for both all purposes of government. They were allowed to do that on the understanding that it would be shared. And indeed, you know, there are a series of other treaties also negotiated, liability to damage and search and rescue and various things. But there is Article 2, I believe, of the Basic Outer Space Treaty, which talks of non-appropriation of space in location, doing things, including on the moon, but also non-appropriation by any other means. And when it comes to auctioning space resource, as distinct from what is now accepted quite readily to auction spectrum, and I have fully supported the idea of auctioning spectrum within national airspace, which is what terrestrial systems are. When it comes to auctioning of orbits, I have to question, having regard to the Outer Space Treaty, whether it is appropriate for the auctioning process to in fact pocket that auction result for national budgetary appropriate purposes.
Professor Miller?
Of course, if we are going to take advantage of any initiative like this, it has to be related to new money. I'm not for one minute suggesting we would somehow want to have the existing funding on space just reshaped so that it came out of a bucket that could be identified as a tax on services. But I think that there are new telecommunications, satellite telecommunications licensing arrangements which governments are putting in place, which include the spectrum licensing that Dick is talking about, in which are leading to new money coming into government coffers. And I suspect, from what I can gather in the negotiations that are going on with some of the network providers of the mobile type, that there's going to be very significant government money coming into the government coffers in countries that are putting very little resources into their space programs. And all I'm saying is, let's suggest to our governments that they recognise that money is coming in because of this opportunity that space has provided for telecommunications people to make a profit, and good luck to them. But let's turn some of that around, because we have some very important other space programs that are in the public good domain, to do with environment, to do with remote sensing and all these other things, search and rescue, which governments are not properly supporting at the moment.